Hello, everyone. Welcome back to USC's Honesty Hour podcast, episode 19. I'm here with Sasha and Alan, and we are here to destigmatize mental health on USC's campus. So first, why don't we just go around? How are you guys doing? You know, like, how's school been? How you been feeling in general?
I'll start off.
Sure.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sasha. School has been... This has been a challenging semester for me, which is pretty surprising because I feel like even when schoolwork gets tough, I'm able to pick back up really easily. But I've been having a hard time, but I think that's natural.
But yeah. Hey guys, my name is Alan. So for me, school has been, it's been pretty rough, honestly. Like, this is probably the hardest semester I've had at USC, but I feel like it's just my involvement on campus and everything I've been doing. I feel like it's just like I'm tackling on so much at once, but I feel like that's part of life. Like, you have to learn how to balance that. So definitely taking that day by day, but hoping for better days.
All right. Such great advice already. But, you know, school is bound to be hard. I'm feeling you guys too. But hopefully this podcast can come and, like, help other people understand what it's like to be Black here at USC and those challenges that just come with our little state here. So we're just going to start and ask, and you guys can, like, take turns, whoever wants to go first, with asking what kind of community did you grow up in, and was it predominantly white or Black, and how did that shape your perceptions of society as a whole? And the last part of this question, do you think it prepared you for USC?
Alan, I'll let you go first.
Okay. So for me, I'm from Waterbury, Connecticut. So, like, people hear Connecticut and you automatically think, oh, it's pretty white. But, like, I grew up in a predominantly Black area, Black city, inner city kid. So, like, for me, I feel like that, in a sense, didn't prepare me for USC because, like, USC's predominantly white institution. So when I got here, like, I just hated this school. I was like, this is something I'm not accustomed to. So it's like, once I got, like, adjusted to the community I'm in, and, like, found friends that came from similar backgrounds as me, like, I could actually connect with on a deeper level, aside from the fact that we were just Black, then I feel like that's when I actually started to like the school. Like, I liked the area. And I feel like you're in LA, so it's like, I feel like that's what necessarily helped. Because I feel like if I was in a, you know, like, a smaller community, I would not have liked USC. But, like, I think it's the fact that, like, yo, I'm in LA. Like, you know, how can you go wrong with that choice? So I feel like, in a sense, it helped me in the way, like, you know, people say USC's in the middle of the ghetto, or, like, oh, like, sure to go out. Like, see, like, I've always known how to watch my back in that sense, like, walking down the street, or, like, you know, just with people, interactions with other individuals. So I feel like, in a sense, it did, but it didn't. But, yeah, how about you, Sasha?
So I am from Brooklyn, New York, but when people think Brooklyn, they think, like, Bed-Stuy or Fort Greene, or, like, I don't know, popular areas in Brooklyn, like Williamsburg. But I'm actually from Bergen Beach, which people usually don't know about, and it's a predominantly white neighborhood. So I'd say I was definitely prepared to come to USC, but at the same time, I think I was exposed to different things. I think at USC, I'm now exposed to a lot of Black wealth, which, like, is not something that I feel like was common in my community. And I feel like that is a more nuanced experience, because you have to have a different kind of skill set to navigate certain spaces. So whereas, like, I was used to being around white people with money, now it's different because I'm around Black people with money. And I feel like, you know, USC is different in the fact that people come from all different tax brackets. Just because you look a certain way doesn't mean, like, you know, that reflects how much money you have. And, like, coming to LA, I think also people derive value from how much money other people have. So it's also just about, like, you know, you have to be prepared to stay true to yourself in every aspect, or else it can be hard to thrive if you don't have the right mindset.
So I'm going to address you first. And I also am from Connecticut. From Stanford, but I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood in Connecticut. I always went to private school, always a scholarship kid, you know. So it was kind of weird because I kind of had that complexity of, like, being at home, being with people who are Black, being with people who are low income, and, like, what, I don't even know. And then going to school and dealing with people who are wealthy and white, mm-hmm. and just like had so many extreme stereotypes that I had to deal with. So it's interesting how you mentioned, like, you know, you come to USC and you're so comfortable like walking in the streets because yeah. like that's what home is like.
It's like, literally.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people who come here at USC who have a lot of money who don't realize that, like, it could be offensive walking in the streets and mm-hmm. being like, oh, it's ghetto when...
Yeah, exactly. When it's, like, what you grew up on. So it's like, damn, like, you're calling where I'm from ghetto. And it's like, you don't even know the meaning of that. I don't know. I feel like that's a whole another topic. Like,
really
white
is.
People use saying the word ghetto is just kind of
like, that word's not for yeah, it's to capitalize.
Exactly. It's like something where it's just like, bro, come on. But
yeah, I think it's important that what you mentioned, how like what people might come to USC and find uncomfortable, mm-hmm. like you found it as something normal.
Yeah, like a norm.
Like mm-hmm. comforting. It made you realize that LA isn't that bad.
No, yeah.
It's like things that you're familiar with. So, you know, I think that's really great that you brought that up. And moving to you, like, I also find it interesting because before coming to USC, like I said, I only went to a private school with a lot of rich white people. There mm-hmm. barely any rich Black people. So it's interesting how you have like a different perspective on like Black wealth, because coming to USC, it was something that I kind of wasn't used to. And I was mm-hmm. just like, how do I enter into that realm of people? Because to me, coming from a low income community, I was like, it's different. It kind of like separates being Black.
Yeah.
Like it separates you from that group of people.
It's kind of like two kinds of Black people, or like right. multiple no, yeah, exactly. kinds of Black people.
No, yeah, right. no, yeah, that's a big thing. Cause it's like I know exactly where you're coming from. Cause it's like, I got here and it's like, okay, like, you know, I want to socialize with the Black people.
Like I'm going to find yeah, community really like, easily.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get to meet those type of people and it's just like, okay, like we're two completely different mm-hmm. people. Cause it's like, you know, like knowing like, yeah, we know struggle as Black people, but now it's like when you put like income into it, it's two completely different things.
But it's like, also like they don't know the same struggle because like money
exactly.
has been
yeah.
able to take them out yeah. of that struggle. So even the shared experiences that you thought you were guaranteed are not mm-hmm. things that are actually guaranteed when it comes down to it. And a lot of the times, like if the person's not able to look past that, then it's hard to formulate a friendship because mm-hmm. like that sometimes people only filter like their filters are like, okay, who has this? Who doesn't have this? Like, and that's how they categorize mm-hmm. people. And like, that's why I think it's important, like even with me and Alan's friendship, like coming to school and like becoming friends, like we prioritize having genuine interactions because that's the only way you're really gonna make it through.
No facts.
No, I think that, you know, it's important that you mention that because it's really hard to come from any of those environments and be prepared for, you know, environment here at USC because people don't realize like what you said with just everything being so different, or people don't realize that some things might be comfortable to
no, yeah.
people while it's uncomfortable to someone else. But, you know, I really want to delve into this further when we ask mm-hmm. the next question. So when you first got to USC, did you experience imposter syndrome? And how were you able to like combat it since it's about like 2 years since we've all been here?
Take it over.
So when I first got to USC, I don't think I've ever really had imposter syndrome. I think that being articulate has like helped me to feel confident in a lot of spaces. But I will say that I think what helped me the most to like not even have to experience having imposter syndrome that much is the Thrive course that I took. It's called OT100. Me and Alan became friends because I told him to take the course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
literally.
Mm-hmm. It was a course on Black self-care, and, like, it taught you a lot about identity, and I feel like that class was really empowering for me. Like, mm-hmm. having those conversations made me feel like, okay, like, there's a space for me here, like, and there are also people who want me to succeed here, and that's what, like, gave me the courage to, like, always be the annoying person with their hand up in my classes, because that's who I am most of the time.
Good.
And I feel like even when sometimes... Because there are, I'm not saying I never doubt myself, because I 100% do, but that's a part of the human experience. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm ever applying to a scholarship or something, or I'm doing a homework and I'm not quite sure, like, what the outcome is supposed to be, of course I'm going to doubt myself. But mm-hmm. it's, like, that initial experience that I had here really prepared me for that, and it helps me to affirm myself in those moments.
Wow. I really need to take that course. I haven't gotten course. There yet.
Oh, yeah, but... it's a good course. Shout out to Ashley.
That's for real.
That's the course for real. But I feel like for me, I don't think I ever experienced imposter syndrome. I feel like I'm a very outgoing person. So like no matter what space I am, like I'm always occupy the space. So it's like I'm gonna take advantage of like I'm already the Black person. So it's like I feel like we're already placed at a disadvantage, especially like when I first started school here. Like it's like, yeah, my circle is like majority Black people, but it's like you go to class and it's like you remember like, damn, like I'm Black at a PWI.
No,
you know, it's
real.
Like you see like one other Black person and it's like, yo, what up? No, yeah, hey. Let's sit right next to each other, like, you know, I got you got me type shit. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I'm like, I feel like imposter syndrome, like, it's just generally just not for me. I feel like it's just because it's like, if as a Black person, I feel like if you deal with imposter syndrome, it's a lot harder to like really move around predominantly white spaces, mm-hmm. because then you feel like you constantly have to censor yourself. You can't be yourself. So it's like, I feel like I learned that the hard way, where it's like, if you don't occupy the spaces you're in, then you're not going to get anywhere. Mm. So I feel like that's probably one of my biggest advices to anyone Black who's dealing with imposter syndrome. Like, just go be out, like, just go out there and like, really show them who you are. Like, because it's like the worst anyone can ever tell you is no. So.
Well, I want to add to that, because I do have friends who like, they're occupying predominantly Black spaces and still have like imposter syndrome. Some of my friends from HBCUs. And I think it's more so like, I think of it as like a mix of not even being shy, because I feel like, you know, they're shy versus outgoing, mm-hmm. like you said, but also like just feeling like you're not capable. And I think arguably like in the society that we grow up in, everything is telling us that we're not capable, mm-hmm. right? So like, I do agree with you in the sense that like you're supposed to, you have to think that you're better than that, and mm-hmm. you have to like occupy spaces. Like when you walk in a room, like your presence should be commanding people, or not should be, but you know, you mm-hmm. have that inner power. But I also think like it takes a certain amount of like self-love and assurance. So I'd say my advice is to like, if you do have imposter syndrome, like build that up, because like, I feel like as innately more confident people, like for us, maybe like we're not, you know, we didn't have to have those conversations mm-hmm. with ourselves. But like for people who do need to have those conversations, like there's nothing wrong with that. Like sometimes you, and also like lean on the people around you. Like if you're ever feeling insufficient, like the people around you love you and they're going to be able to build you up, support you, and let you know, like, listen, even if you don't think you got this, I know you got this. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I find it like fantastic that you guys like have that confidence and are able to like lead every room that you step into. But if I could share a little bit about my, mm-hmm. you know, so coming from a predominantly white school and being like one of the only Black, yeah. you know, always the only Black person in advanced classes, only Black person leading clubs and stuff, a lot of people would say like, she's the only smart Black person, or like, mm. you know, mm. she's like the only Black person that like actually works hard and stuff like that. So for me, imposter syndrome was more of like, I have like all of this pressure, you know, it's like, mm. it's like I have to represent mm-hmm. Black people. And if I am not constantly getting the best grades, yeah. constantly leading teams and like just being the best in the space that I occupy, then like I'm not enough and I'm not doing my people justice. You know what I mean? It's always been like that fear of just like not being enough. And especially coming to USC, I'm just like, well, I might have done well in my school,
but now
like,
there's a whole other
place. There's
now
it's thousands all, yeah. and thousands of
people who were the best.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, definitely coming into USC, I felt a lot of pressure because I'm like, how do I stand out now? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. what can I do to be different? What can I do to show people that like Black people are just people who yeah. were like, and people who are Black here succeeding here are just people who are given the opportunity mm-hmm.
to,
you know?
Yeah.
So for me, like, it's definitely something I still struggle with. Like when I get into a class and I'm like not doing well, but I see like they're white people who are just like absolutely killing it. I'm just like, you know, I'm doing my race an injustice mm-hmm. having this opportunity and not being the best. But, you know, as I like went on in school, I realized that like one, like no one should have that pressure
on them ever. At all, ever.
Yeah.
Like, cause it reminds me of like, I have a perfectionist mindset mm-hmm. and like, even Alan can tell you, like lately I've been struggling so much. Cause even when it comes to doing my schoolwork, like sometimes I'll put it off because I know the caliber and like amount of work that I'm going to put in it so that I get a good grade on the assignment. Like mm-hmm. that sometimes feels overwhelming in itself. And I understand also feeling the pressure to like just perform. Like mm-hmm. I mentioned this before, like especially if you're the only Black person in the classroom, like you feel the responsibility to sound smart when you're speaking so that they know like, yes, Black people are smart, like don't mm-hmm. get it twisted. Mm-hmm. But also like, I feel like in America, like we're working really hard to change problems we didn't create. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you have to relieve yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not my responsibility to let y'all know that we can do things. Mm-hmm. Open a newspaper, read a book. Like, I know y'all don't open newspapers, but like read articles. There's Black people doing groundbreaking things every day. Mm-hmm. And like, I can no longer, I think one of the biggest things I learned about coming to USC, is like, I cannot spend time trying to prove myself to these people. Because yeah. at the end of the day, like, we think people care, they dead don't care. They're not worried about us at all. Because everybody has their own stuff going on. And, like, I think that's something that I have to tell myself, like, every so often. Like, anytime I begin to stress myself out, like, I'm doing this for me. Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, with that, it's, like, realizing, like, you're probably your biggest critic. Like, after, like, I actually learned that and took that in, it was just, like, and the way I found that was just, like, literally over the simplest stuff. It was like one of my friends was posting a picture. I thought the picture was fire. And they were like, no, like, I don't like it. And I'm like, yo, this picture is like fire. This is something I would post. Like, this is fire. And they're like, no, like, I don't like it. And it's like, I don't look good in that picture. Like, so it's like taking that in, it's like everyone's judgment is different on you. So it's like the more you stress on how people view you, how you move in spaces, then it's like you're not going to get anywhere because it's like, you're constantly stopping yourself. You mm-hmm. constantly think people have this certain judgment of you. So it's like, the more you criticize yourself, it's just not helping you at all, honestly.
No, but that was something I needed to hear. So thank you guys. No.
Not yet, for sure.
But yeah, no, this is something that, you know, people of all races deal with. It's just like being Black or like being Hispanic or like whatever, like being different. Being not white, like, like, then it's like imposter syndrome always includes your identity, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where the struggle happens. But if we can move on to the next question, I would like to ask, what are some ways we can stimulate more conversations around this issue in the Black community?
Which issue in particular?
So just when it comes to like mental health in general, mm-hmm. being like mental health in like a studious space.
Yeah, don't mind me shivering. I'm not cold. you can go on.
I think I would say it all comes from like the school. Like, what resources are you guys providing for us Black students who are going through mental health, like while dealing with this at a PWI? So I feel like the fact that like I've heard, I haven't been to like to a therapist or anything, but like I've heard like you have to book like 3 months in advance, which is just like, that's just kind of crazy to me. Like to get an appointment's like, you have to book 3 months in advance. It's like, bro, like, you know, like, what if I, like I'm dealing with something right now. Like, I want to fix this. It's like, why do I have to wait for the next semester in order, you know, for me to talk about how I'm feeling? So it's like, honestly, like the best way to put it is really having people in your circle who generally care about you. And like, you can just have these open conversations with. So it's like having Sasha in my corner, like probably saved me a therapist, you know, it's like, cause like, we're able to have open dialogue about stuff that's generally going on in our lives. And like, we're actually getting concerned about, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like having that person or individuals who you generally feel like you can have those conversations with, generally, is probably my biggest advice.
Yeah, I second that. And as someone who's like on the inside of stuff like that, because as a community health organizer, like I know everything, I know everything that's going on with like the counseling and mental health resources. And like, even last semester, we did this huge project. We got a grant from Johnson & Johnson and it was pretty huge. And basically like we put on all these wellness events and things like that, but we also facilitated focus groups where like we had students tell us like, yes, they appreciate the resources, but like sometimes it takes too long to get an appointment. Sometimes they have problems that they're dealing with right now and those can't get addressed. So like that is something that's being worked on with students, like being able to have more resources of color. But again, like exactly what Alan said, I think before I even think about going to a therapist, which like as a psychology major, like maybe I should take problems to a therapist first, but I always lean on my friends. I would not have been able to go through school without them. And honestly, that's it. Like Because I think there's lots of resources out there, but it's also like, it's up to you to seek that out. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do it for yourself. You have to be able to, one, admit that there's a problem. Like, two, you have to be self-aware, mm-hmm. I feel like, to get anywhere with stuff like that. So I think there are definitely mental health resources out there for USC kids. And I'm sure, like, we'll have Bienni link them and everything mm-hmm. like that. But in the interim, like, even if you can't access those, like, lean on the people who are around you, because I guarantee you they're going through the same things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree with everything that you both said. I think that at least, like, coming from a community back home where, like, mental health was never, like, ever addressed, you know, like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people of color communities don't really,
Caribbean people too,
yeah,
especially
they just don't really believe in it. But I feel like the root of the issue is because they've never had the ability to, like, change it. There's no, like, money is a huge issue when it comes mm-hmm. to, like, they were just never accessible, or mental health was never an accessible thing to, like, fix for them, you know.
Yeah,
so I feel like coming to USC and seeing that they're just, obviously USC has a lot of money and they do have a lot of resources, but like you said, like, someone who is not doing mentally okay is not gonna, like, be, no, like, initiating,
like that's not their first thought,
you know what I mean? So I think that there definitely needs to be more, like, a reconstruction of, like, whatever structure they have for appointments. And I feel like they should definitely have more people of color in, like, the mental
those spaces,
health facility,
yeah.
Because I can't explain the amount of times where I have gone to someone here at the school and my issues were just, like, not that they weren't trying to help, but it just wasn't being understood.
Yeah, like, you're not understanding where I'm coming from
because of you know, the experiences of being Black. So
listen, that'd be me in the financial aid office. I promise you they don't understand what I'm trying to talk about.
But yeah, it's just, you know, that's definitely something that, like, I feel like we have to, like, figure out more ways mm-hmm. to, like, improve. But I mean, I think having friends is, like, obviously so important, but sometimes, like, having friends isn't enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like,
sometimes
when
people don't even
want
to talk to friends about
that.
Because I've definitely been there where, like, I'm somebody who, my first instinct is actually not to talk to anyone about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I am... Even when I was younger, the first time I saw a therapist, I was really young, like maybe 8 or 10. And that was because my parents were going through a divorce. And like the therapist even told my mom, she was like, your daughter's someone who's not going to reach out to you or something like that. And I didn't. I'm still not like that. That's not like, I'll hold it inside for the longest time until I feel like it's maybe worthy of bothering someone with, which is a terrible mindset to have because like, my problems aren't like unworthy of being addressed. Mm-hmm. But I think if I'm not going to talk to someone about something, I'm probably going to write it down. Mm-hmm. And so like, if you ever feel like you can't talk about it directly, I'd say like writing it down is just really cathartic mm-hmm. because sometimes like I'll realize, cause some problems are small and some are big, but like, depending on the kind of issue it is, if I write it down first, it might like save me from even having to have a conversation. Sometimes mm-hmm. I really just need to express how I feel. And it doesn't even require like opening my mouth. But I think, what would you say, Alan? Like, if
for
it's
like,
not friends.
I don't know. For me, I'm like one of the biggest like suppressors. Like, I suppress everything. Like, any type of emotion, it's like, okay, like, nah, I don't even want to talk about it, you know? So I feel like for me, like, writing it down actually, like, it's something like that I've heard like actually like really does work. And like, you know, like, through everything I have been going through this past semester, I feel like, you know, just opening up the notes app and just being like, okay, like today sucked, like this is what happened, this, that, and the third. Like generally, like just help me just get it out. Even though it's like, in a sense, I'm so suppressing it because it's like, I'm not talking about it to someone. It's like just, you know, I got it out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like, you know, new day, mm-hmm. like, you know, time to get it. So
I think the act of like writing it down is also like making you aware of what that is. Cause I'm not able to sift through the emotions and how they're making me feel like while they're in my mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. Like, once I start writing it down, like, and I shouldn't even be saying this, but like, I should really burn my journal because nobody needs to do this ever. But like, truly, like, actually being able to articulate what you have going on, like, and saying what you need to say, like, that's when the real,
because it helps you
release
understand. Yeah, it helps you understand, like why you're feeling like this and where these emotions are coming from, you know?
And so, then the next step is just knowing what you can do about it.
Right. I think that that's a great like first step. That's what I always tell my friends, like whenever they have difficulty explaining their issues to me, just write it down and come to me the next day. So I feel like having friends and writing it down, I feel like that's a good mix. So moving on to the next question. I kind of like this question too. Do you think finding a community of people similar to yourself has helped, or do you think that diversifying your friend group has helped?
My friend group is not diverse at all. Like, I would say it's diverse in the sense, like, we're all Black and coming from different communities. Like, different, we come from different communities of Black people. Like, you know, I have friends who Ethiopian, you know, Ethiopian friends, and then I'm Afro-Caribbean, so it's like complete different mindset, but like the cultures kind of align in a sense. Like, you know, we have similar upbringings in a sense, but I feel like it, for me personally, it has helped me just because it's like I like being around individuals who understand the struggles I have faced. And not, it might not be to the same extent, but like they just get where I'm coming from. And it's like I've been in predominantly white spaces before. Like that click has just never been there for me. It's something I've definitely been trying to work on, because I feel like your friend group does have to be diverse in a sense. Like it doesn't always have to be like people that look like you or come from similar backgrounds as you. So definitely something, I feel like that's probably the biggest thing I'm trying to work on, like finding those white friends, because there's cool white people out there, like, you know. So it's like it's definitely, yeah, getting to know and finding those white people, yeah, might be difficult for me, but yeah, definitely something I'm trying to work on for sure.
I think I always was in a predominantly white friend group. So then when I got to college, I was like, all right, had my time, got to know who I need to get to know, like bring me the Black people. But then now that I have all Black friends, love them to death, but I also feel like this is the place where I should be diversifying my friend group. I'm like, I didn't come across the country to, you know, only get to know more Black people. I'm really grateful for the relationships I do have, but I also feel like I'd be doing myself a disservice if I left college without knowing people from all walks of life. And so that is something that I'm like trying to work on, but it's also hard because like there's also imposter syndrome, I guess, in that, like, you know, not knowing how those people are going to perceive you, not knowing if, like, you know, you guys are going to have anything in common. But with the few friends outside of my own race that I do have, like, I definitely know that we do have shared experiences on some level. And I'm looking forward to cultivating more relationships with people from different backgrounds. Cause honestly, like, I'm somebody who I feel like when I grow up, I'm not gonna sit in one place. I think I'm gonna travel the world. So I think some of that cultural understanding starts here. So I'm not sure what I'm going to have to do to make a more diverse friend group, but I hope it happens.
Well, you know, I personally, I'm kind of weird in the way where I actually here at USC do not have that many Black friends. I think it might have been, I feel like a lot of people who do have like a Black circle like actually went out there looking for it. And I think for me, I just like for some reason I just didn't have the energy, and I think part of it came from fear because I came from a predominantly white like neighborhood.
Like it was like in a sense like, did you ever feel like it was like, how Black am I? Like, am I that Black to even fit in with the Black people?
Because I did have like a Black group back at home, and I kind of felt like a joke sometimes, because it was always like, you know, oh, you're not up with the music, like you don't know the slang, like, and not to like stereotype, because like, you know, that's not how every Black
Black circle is.
But there
but it was
is,
like that experience is right, just like
right. I would miss out on a lot of the Black experiences only because I went to a white school. The majority of my friends were white. So coming here at USC, I just like really wanted to avoid having an all white, all Black. I just did not want that at all, because it was isolating in a way, if that made sense. Which is strange, because like all Black, I am Black, but like like you guys said, Black people come in many different shapes, forms, like experiences. So a lot of my friends now actually like is very diverse. I have like a white, Indian, Caribbean, like very diverse friend group. And it is the best decision I have like made in my entire life. Because the beautiful thing that you realize is that no matter how different people can be if they are your people, and if they're caring and loving and just good people, that not only can you learn from them, but they can learn a lot from you. And I don't know, I just feel like the changes that I was able to make in my life, because for the longest time I thought like being Black, oh, that's like the worst thing there is. But, you know, having a diverse friend group, I realized that like other races experience a lot of crazy things too. And that there's so many stories that just aren't out there. And that like, even if it might, even if we might be different races, like our experiences still connect in a way where we learned the same things, where we felt the same things. So I would suggest like,
definitely.
What are your suggestions to us to making more diverse friends? Because like some of that cultural awareness that you're speaking to is what I'm also like curious about.
I think, and like you guys sound like very outgoing people, and you guys have said that you are. I think just not being afraid of one going up to someone that is different and having them reject you. I think that like, I don't know, I really went into like meeting people with the mindset that like, this was freshman year, so I was just like, you know, everyone's trying to make friends, like even if I have no clue, like I haven't spoken to like that many Indian people, like might as well just try and like see where that gets me. And I feel like what has helped me the most is just being the first to open up. I think that a lot of people don't do that. And that is what makes it complicated, because it's just like you're kind of like artificially talking, like, oh, how are you? I'm good. How are you? I'm good. But no one's saying anything that matters.
True.
And so, you know, I very like, I was the one to initiate, like, oh, whenever we had a conversation, I'd be like, oh, I came from here. And like, you know, coming from here makes me very nervous, but I'm really excited for these things. And they're like, well, I came from here, but like, I feel the same way, you know? I think just like being the first to open up is definitely like the hardest thing to do, because it's like, you know,
because you're being vulnerable.
That's exactly the word I was gonna say. But like, vulnerability is like, I hate that this sounds corny, but it is a superpower. Like, you know, like vulnerability is what makes your friendships deep. Like, that's where you find connection. So I think we've been reluctant to be vulnerable with people who don't look like us. But if that's the key, I mean, we can do that.
But yeah, and I feel like when you guys travel, if you guys have plans, like you'll like see a lot of that. And just in life in general, you know, if you go to USC, it's gonna happen. All right, so next question. Okay, so what are some things that USC specifically has that you think has helped you with being like Black at a PWI?
Oh, hands down, the CBCSA.
Oh,
oh my God. Like, that is like, it's like the spot, because it's like, well, CBCSA and Somerville too. Like, I feel like I wasn't part of Somerville, but I lived in like in the building right next door to Somerville. So it's like even having that, I feel like if it wasn't there, I wouldn't know Sasha. I wouldn't know any of the other Black friends that I have on campus, because that's where it all initiated, you know? Like going to their dorms, like just chilling there. It was like, damn, like this is really a whole village of just Black people that like actually understand where I'm coming from and are looking for other Black friends. And then the CBCSA is just like, you go in there and it's just like, all smiles. It's like, you're bound to like, just get a laugh while you're there, you know? At least like something is gonna be funny. You know, so it's like just having that safe space for you, and it's just like, it's just Black people there. It's like, you know, you got the Mina Lounge there, but like, you know, still, but yeah, like those two spaces, like 100% just make life at USC better as a Black student, for sure.
Honestly, like as somebody who, like with my role as a community health organizer, it's split between the CBCSA and the Office for Health Promotion Strategy. So obviously, I'm going to advocate for the CBCSA too.
Okay, so next question. Do you think your experiences with being at a PWI, such as USC, will help you in the future, and how?
I would 100% say yes. I feel like, one, USC is like the biggest networking school. Like everyone knows, like, you know, if you leave USC without a job, it's like you didn't do your job. You know? So in a sense, I feel like that definitely helped me. Like, I do not regret my choice, like being at USC at all. I feel like I don't really think about the PWI aspect that much, because again, like my space is predominantly Black. But if you ever find yourself in a situation, you know, where you're at a PWI, it's definitely take advantage of all the resources you have. I feel like going to a PWI in general, like, you're going to have more resources than an HBCU, mm-hmm. like, 100%. I feel like I have friends at HBCUs, and, like, they constantly say the biggest issue they face is the fact that they don't have resources. You know, like, they have individuals that look like them, and it's, you know, all of them look mm-hmm. like them, you know? So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's rewarding in a sense. Like, you know, it's like you got to pick one or the other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Being with everyone that looks like you, or having those resources, having that network of individuals you can tap in with them, and that you can tap in with mm-hmm. in the future. And I feel like, yeah, USC definitely has met my expectations with that. I feel like I've surrounded myself with good people, as well as people who are not only pouring into me, but I'm also pouring into them as well. So, yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 19 of USC's Honesty Hour podcast. And can't wait to see you.